School days, school days, dear old golden rule days. Of course, the golden rule has changed over the years, has it not? Now it's more like, do unto others before you get done unto. School is back in session, and recently the youngest of the brood here, the 14-year-old, started her very first day in the government high school. And on that first day, she was handed by the science teacher a questionnaire, "What is it that you like about science?" The written response that she gave to the science teacher, "I don't like science all that very much because it's taught like a religion, and I have my own views." Well, when you see me driving down the street, I'll probably be the one sooner or later with a bumper sticker that reads, "My kid got tossed out of the science class for being a Bible-believing Christian." You know what? I couldn't be any more proud. This is the Wonderful Grace radio broadcast.
Wonderful grace of Jesus, greater than all my sin. How shall my tongue describe it? Where shall its praise begin? Taking away my burden, setting my spirit free. For the wonderful grace of Jesus reaches me.
And an excellent Sunday morning to each and every one of you. Thank you so much for tuning in to this The Wonderful Grace radio broadcast. My name, Mark Mumaw, pastor of the Master Builder Grace Assembly. We're located at 313 South Jefferson Street in downtown Dayton. You have just tremendous numbers of opportunity now, and the opportunities, they keep growing. We are going to be on another radio station. I'm not going to tell you which one, but it is the largest radio station in the Miami Valley in Dayton, and they broadcast on an AM and an FM channel, reaching all the way from Lima, Ohio, all the way to south to Cincinnati, and maybe even beyond, over to Columbus and then into Indiana. That's going to be rather early in the morning. That's the best I could do. 5 o'clock to 5:30, the Wonderful Grace radio broadcast will be heard on that frequency. You can check out the website to get exact program times and channels. You can go to www.wonderfulgrace.org. There you will find information about how you can attend the Master Builder Grace Assembly each and every Sunday morning at 10, again at 11 o'clock for our preaching service, Wednesday evening at 7 p.m., that for Bible study. You can go to the website and download just a plethora of information. There are complete Bible studies, over 150 hours of material archived on the audio page there. So you can also then find program times and channels where you, I am certain, can get the Wonderful Grace radio broadcast in your area. I am so grateful for each and every day of opportunity that we can spread the message of the grace of God, how that salvation is a product of Christ and His death, burial, and resurrection on Calvary's cross. And we place our faith in His finished payment, in His complete payment, and God saves our soul. Isn't that a wonderful thing? No changing your ways, no turning from your sin, none of those things to achieve salvation. Rather, the Holy Spirit of God seals you into the body of Christ when you believe. I'll be right back in just a moment.
Broader than the scope of my transgressions, greater far than all my sin and shame. Oh, magnify the precious name of Jesus. Praise the name of Jesus, wonderful name of Jesus, magnify His holy name.
Last week I told you that there's some prominent people out there, preachers no less, beginning to embrace Islam, beginning to think that maybe Islam and Christianity aren't so far apart that they can't get along, and maybe we even have the same beliefs. Names like Dr. Jeremiah Cummins, priest, a Catholic priest named Tiny Muskins, advocating that we call God Allah and start praying to Allah. Even Jack Van Impe seems to be headed in the direction of placating Muslims and even advocating that the Islam religion and Christianity have more in common than we all know to be true. Meanwhile, here's some news from this week that in France, Toulouse, France, to be exact, the World Council of Churches. Your church might belong to the World Council of Churches, but the World Council of Churches is one step closer, in fact, to creating what would become a new set of guidelines, that on soul winning, winning converts to Christianity from other religions, and they would put rules in place about how missionaries could and should evangelize in the field. And particularly, the council says it will be important to get along with people from other religions. In that light, then, we find that the church official says that religious preachers need to be told that no religion has monopoly on the truth, that there are many ways to find salvation, and I quote. Some of the church names that you're going to recognize that are backing the formation of these new guidelines: the Roman Catholic Vatican, what a surprise there, the World Evangelical Alliance, and the Church of God. Obviously, what we have here is a case of never having believed the Bible, never having believed when I read in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, that neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved, that other than the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus is the only name by which a soul can be saved. No other religion recognizes Jesus as the Son of God, God incarnate, God made man, the manifest God, any of those things, let alone Savior of the world. We know that there is but one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. Not Allah, not Muhammad, not Buddha, none of them, I would say, they need to hear the gospel of the grace of God, the people from the other religions, and it looks to me like maybe some folks in the Vatican and the World Evangelical Alliance and the Church of God could stand to get saved also. It's a hard thing, is it not? We know that there are those who never darken the door of any church, never give a Christianity even so much as a second thought, never even worry about their soul salvation. Those folks are going to end up in an eternity of hell. How much worse would it be to spend a lifetime sitting in a church pew each and every Sunday, eating the wafers, taking the wine, listening to the preacher talk about things that you have no understanding of, and then winding up in hell? But you need not be one of them. You can know for a certainty that your soul is saved. You can trust the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, shed on your behalf, that on Calvary's cross, for the forgiveness of every one of your sins. You trust the payment that Christ made, and He will save your never-dying soul. My name, Mark Mumaw. This is the Wonderful Grace Radio Broadcast. What are the two things that people tell you that you should never talk to other people about? Religion and politics. Everybody has a different view, don't they? Everybody has a different idea, and whenever you form an idea, whenever you have an opinion, whenever you have a belief, there's always going to be other people out there that are going to disagree with whatever it is you say, and I'm no exception. I've learned that a long time ago, and it's okay. I have very thick skin. It doesn't hurt my feelings. People can say about me what they want to say about me, and I can't stop them, and that's just fine. Meanwhile, there's those who preach a gospel which is considerably different than salvation by grace through faith. One of those gospels is known in your Bible as the everlasting gospel. Let's take a look at the everlasting gospel, if we might, to find out exactly what that entails. And we find the everlasting gospel in the book of Revelation, chapter 14, verse 6. We read, "And I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, and to every nation, and kindred, and tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, Fear God, and give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment is come, and worship Him that made heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains and waters." Sounds pretty good. I don't disagree with that at all. Except the everlasting gospel is not the gospel for us today. The everlasting gospel has a time dispensational context in your Bible. That context would be, in fact, Revelation 14:8. There follows another angel right after the angel that we just saw saying, Babylon is fallen that great city because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. You see, it's the end of the tribulation. It's the end of the 7-year period of testing that for the nation Israel, the 7-year period of judgment that for unbelieving people of the world, and there's never a mention of having faith in God. There's never a mention of anything other than worship God because the devilish system of the world, Babylon, is visibly fallen at that time, and then appears Christ to rule and reign over the earth. That would be a time when faith is no longer needed. You and I, we don't walk by sight, we walk by faith because Christ is not ruling and reigning over the earth today. But there will be a time when Christ is visibly apparent. He's visibly here, sitting, ruling and reigning on the throne there on Mount Zion. And at that time, faith will no longer be needed. You don't need any faith to know that you're driving in your car, that you're sitting at home listening to me on the radio, maybe on the internet. You know what you're doing. There's no faith required because you can see, you can experience, you know for a fact, and that is going to in fact be the case when Christ is visibly apparent, ruling and reigning over the earth. And the everlasting gospel is in fact a works-only gospel, not requiring faith. Revelation chapter 19, verse 11. Here comes Jesus to set up his earthly throne on this earth. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were as a flame of fire, on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but himself, and his clothes were vested and dripped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God, and the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean, and out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, as it would he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of his fierceness, the wrath of Almighty God, and he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I have a idea that you will not have any trouble identifying Jesus when he shows up, that at the end of the tribulation period. There won't be any faith needed at that point because you'll know that he is, in fact, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. You don't find too many people coming down the street with the rod of iron, with the sharp sword that comes out of his mouth, with the vesture dipped in blood. It's going to be readily apparent that the gospel, that is the everlasting gospel, is a works-only gospel because at that time we will all be in the presence of the Lord. We are not at that time. We operate in a dispensation, a period of God's administration that is prior to the visible arrival of Christ to rule and reign on this earth. Ephesians chapter 3:2, Paul the apostle asks, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given me to you word. And in this dispensation, the dispensation of the grace of God, the throne of God is not yet located here on earth. We read in Acts chapter 2 verses 33 and 34, Peter's preaching, and he says, wherefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this that ye now see and hear. For David is not yet ascended into the heavens, but he saith unto himself, the Lord, that would be Jehovah God, the Father, said unto my Lord, that would be Jesus the Christ, sit thou on my right hand. That after Jesus had ascended visibly up in into the heavens. Stephen, in Acts chapter 7, verse 55, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God, and said, "Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." He which wrought in Christ, Ephesians chapter 1:20, when he raised him from the dead, that would be Jesus, and set him at his, that would be God the Father, own right hand in the heavenly places. That's where the throne of God is now located, up there in the third heaven, and Jesus sits on the right hand of God the Father. The time of Christ's earthly kingdom, you see, is still future. It is yet and still to come. We know that in Hebrews chapter 1:13, when the writer of Hebrews says, "But to which of the angels said he at any time, 'Sit on my right hand until something happens, until a particular point of time, until a particular set of events occur,' and that would be until I make thine enemies thy footstool." You see, Satan is in control of the world. I know you don't want to hear that. I know you don't think that that's the right thing to say, but it's absolutely true. It's absolutely biblical, and it's absolutely proper in this, the dispensation of the grace of God. Because Satan is in control of this world. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 3 tells us that if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. That tells me something, that those who do not trust the gospel of the grace of God, the gospel of Christ, which is the power of God unto salvation, are lost. And they'll be just like the little blue-haired ladies in the church pew that never trusted Christ for their soul's salvation. They'll be just like those who never darkened the door of a church, never gave Christ a second thought, never gave eternity any kind of consideration whatsoever. They will land in an eternity of hell. But if the gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the god of this world, that's Satan, hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. But you need not follow the god of this world. You need not follow the ways of Satan. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1, "You who have believed hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, wherein in time past ye walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air," that's Satan, "the spirit of that now worketh in the children of disobedience," that's Satan, "among whom also we had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others." We were bound for hell. We were doomed. We were without God and just on our way to an eternity in hell. But God, verse 4, "who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherein he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved, and hath raised us up together, and made us to sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus." You see, positionally, judicially, we're already seated with Christ in the heavenlies. Already there, we're already as good as in heaven as far as God is concerned. You see, we have already been blessed with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. We are already complete in Christ. We are already seated with Christ in heavenly places. And our gospel that puts you in that position, the gospel of the grace of God, is one that's truthfully, people like to call it easy believism. I think that that's funny, because if it was so easy, everyone would be doing it. And that just isn't the case. You see, trusting something that you cannot see is, in fact, a difficult thing. Our gospel, the gospel of the grace of God, is no easier than one of works. As a matter of fact, one of works probably would be easier. If I had to, let's say, pick up a hammer and drive nails for my soul's salvation, if I had to, let's see, do 10 jumping jacks each and every day to be saved, I would know, would I not? Because I could see those things visibly. It would be participation in the salvation process, and as long as I did my jumping jacks each and every day, I would know for a fact that I was saved. So faith, it's a hard thing. Believing, it's a difficult thing, but it is the complete faith in God's sufficient grace given to us because of Christ's sufficient payment, that on Calvary's cross when he died for all our sins, past, present, and future. You see, Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8, for by grace are ye saved through faith, that not of yourselves, not because you did jumping jacks, not because you drove nails with a hammer, not because you petted the cat or did some nice things to somebody. It is not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. You don't earn a gift. You don't do work for a gift. A gift is given freely to you. You do not repay a gift. It would be an insult, would it not? If you took a gift, how many people are insulted each and every December? If you took a gift and then returned it, it would just be an absolute insult. You see, you do not earn a gift. It is given freely. And salvation is a gift. It is by grace that you're saved, through trusting Christ's payment made for you. It's not of yourselves, and it's not, verse 9, of works, lest any man should boast. I have no works that I can boast of. I do nothing that is that is good enough to merit salvation, and neither do you. The only thing that we have is, in fact, the hope of salvation by faith in Christ and his finished work. Nobody today is saved or even brought close to God by keeping commandments or doing works for salvation. You see, Ephesians chapter 2 verse 13 makes it clear that now in Christ, notice the time context, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh. That would be near by the blood of Christ, having abolished in his flesh, that's when he hung on the cross making payment for our sins, he abolished in his flesh the enmity. That's like being an enemy. That would be the hatred toward us from God. Even the law of commandments contained in ordinances. You see, he abolished by the cross commandment keeping. He abolished by the cross the ordinances, the Jewish ordinances that were in place by the law, for to make of himself of twain one new man, so making peace. Romans 5:1, we are at peace with God, that through faith. And verse 16 of Ephesians chapter 2, he did those things that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them which were nigh. For through him, through Christ, we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Christ gave himself, you see, that we might by faith be saved. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 4, Christ, who gave himself for all our sins, that he might deliver us from this present evil world, according to the will of God and our Father. Well, having abolished the requirements of the law for salvation, it then would be a wrong thing, would it not, to trust in our own works, or in a gospel in which other dispensations there were works required. That is a matter of fact, that in other dispensations, as a matter of fact, in all other dispensations other than this present dispensation of the grace of God, there is always a works requirement for salvation. Galatians chapter 1 verse 6, the Apostle Paul says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you unto the grace of Christ, unto another gospel. I marvel that you have believed the preaching of someone who comes with a different message. And verse 7, that gospel which is not another, but there would be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. How do you preach another gospel which is not another? You see, it is not enough to just name the name of Jesus. It's not enough to just believe in Jesus. It's not enough to ask Jesus into your heart or make Jesus the Lord of your life. It's not even enough to believe that Jesus did his part. Now you have to do yours. You need to know what God's instruction for this time, this dispensation right now is. You need to know what God requires, not what other people would like to see you do. You realize, do you not, in Matthew chapter 7 verse 21, Jesus himself told those around him that not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Salvation depends on what the will of the Father is, and the will of the Father does indeed change that throughout your Bible. So we need to know what the will of the Father is now, not in times past or ages to come. And the Apostle Paul claims authority for the time in which we now live. 1 Timothy chapter 2 verse 7, Paul tells you and I that he is ordained a preacher, an apostle, and a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. Romans 11:13, Paul says, I speak to you, Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify mine office. Paul is the one who received information from Christ for the time in which we now live. And in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 1, Paul says that I, given the information for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you word, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, which, by the way, could not have been revealed prior to the events of Acts 9 when Paul met the Lord on the road to Damascus. So anything prior to that is irrelevant as far as salvation goes. That, Paul says in verse 5, this information given to him which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, but it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs, you and I, and of the same body, you and I, and partakers of his promise in Christ, that by the gospel. Paul was the last to get a word from Christ. Paul was the last to see Christ. We know that in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 8, that last of all he, Christ, was seen of me also. And Paul was the first to be saved by the gospel of the grace of God, by grace through faith alone, and that without word. 1 Timothy 1:16, Paul tells us, howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering, that for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. If he's the pattern, we ought to pay attention. If you reject the unique message of grace, salvation by faith, you have in fact rejected the very will of the Father in the instruction given by Jesus to Paul, 1 Corinthians 14:37. If any man think himself to be a prophet or spiritual, let him acknowledge that the things that I, Paul, write unto you are the commandments of the Lord. You need to discern and not be fooled by preachers who preach things called everlasting gospels or other gospels which contain requirements other than trusting Christ and his finished payment. Galatians chapter 1 verse 8. gives the warning that we need to heed, in that if we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we say it before, now say I again, if any man preach any other gospel unto you other than ye have received, let him be accursed. My name, Mark Mumaw, pastor of the Master Builder Grace Assembly, where we know that a soul is saved by grace through faith, that in the finished payment of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're located at 313 South Jefferson Street, downtown Dayton. We would like to meet you each and every Sunday morning at 10 o'clock, again on Wednesday night for Bible study, that at 7 p.m. If you would, go to the website, www.wonderfulgrace.org, and check it out, www.wonderfulgrace.org. And I thank you so very much for listening.